morning and welcome to Grace Bible Church today. We're glad that you're here. In our call to worship this morning, I want to draw your attention to the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. I often come to this passage of Scripture because it is so full of wonderful statements from our Lord and as He prayed to His Father, but specifically themes that He sought that His Father would do, not just for those that were alive at that time, but for us. As he prayed. In verse 13 it says, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Now that one phrase right there is overwhelming to consider. When he says that they might have my joy, the Son's joy, you and I enjoy it and have it and possess it. Now what does that mean? His joy. He said, my joy, but it's His joy. Well, it's far different than what we would call joy here upon this earth. It's exciting to see kids score a goal and we jump up and down. That's not really joy. When you have a birthday party and everybody's singing to you and you got your birthday hat on and everybody's singing and you're smiling and everything, that's not biblical joy, you understand. That's just happiness. You survived another year and you're there to receive a gift. And so we get happy about that and we jump up and down. But that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about when he says, my joy. What he's referring to is all that makes up the relationship that is enjoyed by the Trinity. Do you realize that love existed in the Trinity before it ever came to earth? God the Father loved the Son. God the Son loved the Father and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit loves the Father and the Son. They enjoyed love prior to their ever being human beings. So God did not create the heavens and the earth and human beings so He could have fellowship because He was alone. I've heard that many, many times. That's not. They had the joy of heaven together among themselves in the Trinity. And Jesus said, I want fellow believers, those human beings that come to faith in me, to know that joy that exists between us. Now that's a remarkable desire. I doubt we've ever prayed that kind of prayer, that we desired for other people to enjoy the fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ, but nonetheless, Jesus Christ prayed that prayer. He sought it for you and for me. Now the question is, do we have it? Do we have that kind of joy? The joy that exists between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and throughout the Trinity. That wonderful joy that passes all understanding. That's a question that only you can answer. God knows how much joy you have. God knows what kind of relationship you have with Him. None of us do. We can guess, but we're not God. We don't know. That's between you and the Lord. So I want to encourage you. As you begin this brand new week, as you go through each day, would you seek God's face and say, Lord, I want to know that joy that you talked about in your high priestly prayer, that you prayed for us. Lord, I want that joy that existed between you and the Father and the Holy Spirit. I want it to be real in my heart and in my life. That's when you start understanding and seeking to be a true Christian. Seeking to know God's best for your life is when you desire for His joy to be in your heart and life.
And let's take our hymn books this morning and turn to number 26, please. Number 26. I want to sing all three verses of Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 26. Let's stand together to sing.
As fair.
So may you stand for prayers, Brother Bill comes to lead us.
Let's pray. Our Father, we do come before Thee today, and we thank Thee for Your great faithfulness to us. We thank Thee for Your love, for Your compassion, for Your grace, Father, that caused You in Your eternal plan to send Your Son to this earth to take upon Himself flesh, to become man, and to take upon Him our sin, to become the sacrifice for our sin, Lord, to be the one to bear in His body the wrath of Almighty God against the sin of all the earth. And Father, we thank Thee for this. We thank Thee that You love us, that You care for us, Father, that You gave us a means by which we can come into right relationship with Thee and to be at peace with Thee, Father, and You offer that to us in Your grace and in Your love. And we thank Thee for each week that we can come together at the beginning of the week to gather as a body of believers in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to meet together, to offer up our praise unto Thee, Father, to offer up our prayer requests unto Thee, to gather around Thy Word, that here in this country that we can gather in freedom and in liberty to meet together around Your Word, Father. And we just thank Thee for this. And we pray that during this time of this service today, that You would just cause us to lift up our hearts unto Thee, to see Thee in a new light, to see Thee as Thou art, holy, righteous, Father, and that through the message in the hour of today, that we would draw closer to Thee in our walk and in our relationship to Thee, that we would see our Savior more clearly, that we would be more conformed to His likeness, Father, that we would have in ourselves the nature that He expressed upon this earth. Father, we thank Thee for the time that You've given us, and we thank Thee that we can offer our request unto Thee. We pray today, Lord, for our country. We know that we live in very uncertain times. We live in times where there is evil about, where there are forces that would cause and want this country to go in a direction that is totally away from and apart from Thee. And Father, we just pray for those who we have in leadership positions today. We pray for our president. We pray for those in his cabinet, Lord, that support his agenda, Father, that You would just watch over him. Lord, we pray that You would just bring salvation to those who are in need of salvation, that they would see Thee, that they would see the way that You have for this country. And I just pray that You would just work in their hearts. I pray for protection in this time of where there are so many evil forces working against our president and against his administration, Father, that You would just, during this time, lift up a hedge of protection, Father, that You would give wisdom to those who are in decision-making power. Father, those who are opposed to Thee, Father, we just pray for their salvation. We know this seems impossible to us, but nothing is impossible to Thee. And we just pray that You would just give direction and faithfulness to those who are there who can make decisions to lead this country in the ways of righteousness. Father, I pray for this message and ministry today. We thank Thee for the ministry that You have raised up here in this local community, for this church, for this school, for the youth program, for the Children's Bible Club program, and the projector outreach. Lord, all of these things that You have raised up and that You have faithfully guided through all of these years. I pray for those who are in positions of leadership here, who make decisions on a daily basis. Father, we just thank Thee that You have given them the power and the strength to continue on. This place is a place that is Your name, and we pray that we would just be faithful to Your name and that You would continue to give the outreach that You have given, that would be able to continue until You return. Father, I pray for this day. May You be honored and glorified in everything that is done in this ministry and in this time and this hour today. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Be seated and turn now to number 173. 173, channels only, number 173.
Oh,
485. Number 485 before our special this morning. Have thine own way, Lord. Number 485, verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2, number 485.
I invite you to take your Bibles, please, today, and let's turn together to 1 Chronicles chapter 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, as we conclude our series that we began many months ago, back in February. This is the 25th message in a series that we have been doing on the life of Samuel. And when we began that series, we wanted to bring out how God took a child and made him into a prophet. God can do anything. Here was a young man that was taken away from his parents, though it was of their desire. Hannah had sought the Lord about having a son, and she promised the Lord, "If you will give me a son, I will give him back to you. I will lend him back to you, and I want you to use him for your honor and for your glory." And now we come to what I'm calling Samuel's legacy. Samuel's legacy. The Bible is full of references. I've counted almost 10 different additional references in the Bible related to his servant Samuel. And we're going to kind of walk through most of these today as we look at the legacy of Samuel and what the Bible highlights about his life. And the first of these begins here in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, and we're going to look specifically at verse 22. Verse 22, "And these which were chosen to be porters in the gates were 212. These were reckoned by their genealogy to their villages, whom David and Samuel the seer did ordain in their set office." Now here we have the time in which the temple has been built. David has prepared all of that, and they are right now in the process of establishing those that were going to serve in that temple. And it was built specifically upon the plans of David and what other individual? Samuel. Samuel had an impact. He was writing. He was seeking the Lord's face. The Lord was revealing to him how and whom he wanted in the temple, serving in the temple. And here we find these porters here, 212 of them, who had specifically been appointed or laid out according to David and Samuel the prophet. Now, I think it's important for us to understand that a person's legacy is not only how they impacted society, but for the Christian, how God used an individual to impact society. There are many people who have legacies. I have just about finished reading the biography of the gentleman that wrote His Utmost, Oswald Chambers. And Oswald Chambers died suddenly at age 42 in Cairo, Egypt. He and his wife and daughter had left England and had gone to Egypt under the auspices of the YMCA. And because he had gone there willingly, the British government gave him a commission in the military and called him forth to be a chaplain while he was there. He ministered to hundreds, even thousands of troops as he was there for over a period of 2.5 years during World War I. He had arrived when he was 39 years of age, and he died and was buried in Cairo, Egypt. You can go and visit his tomb in the old British cemetery there. And he is respected by the British government by giving a cross just like all the other military people, even though he didn't officially serve. He was just granted a position as chaplain to the troops. At his funeral, after he had suddenly died from something as simple as an appendix bursting, they had no way to treat him. They operated, trying to see what they could do, but the damage had already been done. Died a very painful death. But as he was being honored at the funeral, there were hundreds of troops that had asked permission to return from their outposts there in Egypt to come back for the funeral. And one by one, they rose up and gave testimony of what Oswald Chambers had meant to them. Most of them said, "I came to know Jesus Christ as a result of Oswald Chambers. He came to my barracks after we went to one of his services. He came to our barracks and he sat beside me and he took his Bible and he led me to Christ. I know Jesus because of Oswald Chambers." And one after the other began to rise all across that area as they held that funeral. Oswald's wife was weeping. And she said to herself at the funeral, "My husband had a tremendous impact upon these soldiers. Many of them are not going to return back to England. They're going to die here. But there will be some that will return." And she determined at the funeral that she was going to take all the sermons that she had taken through her secretarial skills and secretarial language, shorthand. And she said, "I am going to, by God's grace, I'm going to take his writings and I'm going to put them into print." And today, some of the My Utmost for His Highest is still the top-selling devotional in the Christian world. You know, 102 years after his death. And it was a wife's desire. She never remarried. And she spent 30 years going through all of his paperwork and putting it. And so several books we now have by Oswald Chambers were never intended for publication. He never had the opportunity. But word came back to England, to the little school where he attended. He had left going to a very prestigious school in Edinburgh, Scotland. A student was already serving as a grad student in his freshman year. He was that smart. He was doing extremely well, and God began to burden him. "I want you to go and preach my word. I want you to go." He was studying art. A tremendous artist. Commissioned by hundreds of people. That's how he paid for his college. To do drawings and do portraits of individuals. And that's how he paid for his college. And God just burdened him that he needed to prepare for ministry. So he left that. Went to a tiny little town near the Firth of Clyde. And there went to a small Bible school with one teacher, a pastor. They had 26 students in that Bible college. All 26 went to the mission field. Every one of them. The most famous, of course, being Oswald Chambers. When word came back, the founder of that school who had suffered a tremendous stroke and had been limited. And they called the handful of students that were left and called them together and said, let's pray for his wife and for his daughter, that God would show them what they should do. And that calling upon her life was to codify all of the sermons and stuff so that other people could benefit from his learning. And that's his legacy today. A legacy of a man that never intended to write a book, and yet his materials and his sermons and the things that she wrote down became books. And there are countless thousands upon thousands of people who have benefited from the writings of Oswald Chambers, from a man who never got to see any of it, who died at 42. You see, folks, it's not how well-known you become. It's how you live your life here upon this earth. Samuel left instructions. When the day would come that the temple would be built, he would not see it. But when the temple would be, he said, we need to have a structure, and he and David together put together the structure of what would be the temple and its operations. And Solomon followed the writings of Samuel in the institution of those things, as well as his father David, so that the worship of God in that temple would bring glory to the name of Jehovah. And so he had a lasting impact in the worship of the children of Israel. If you'll turn over to chapter 11, the same book, I want to share with you another verse of Scripture. Look at verse 3. Here Samuel's name appears once again. Let's start at verse 1. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. And then notice, according to the word of the Lord, by whom? Samuel. It was recorded. Samuel had recorded that David was anointed. Samuel had done that when David was just a middle schooler, maybe 12 years old. It would be 25 years before this day would come. But 25 years later, they have the writings of Samuel that say David is the anointed king over all Israel. He served for 7 years over Judah as king, and then he became king here over all of Israel. And it was the faithfulness of Samuel recording that information. 25 years later, they would refer back to it and say, this is the one that God has chosen to be our king. Faithful encourager and writer of the word. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 35. We see another mention of Samuel here. And I want us to look, please, at verse 18 of chapter 35. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was the Passover kept. Josiah was the king who, when they were renovating the temple, they went to the temple and it had not been kept up. They had not been faithfully worshiping the Lord there. But they go in there and they find the writings of Samuel. He's the one that had recorded many of the things in 1 Samuel. And then, of course, the seer Gad and Nathan and many of the other prophets that lived before had recorded many things concerning the Word of God. And they brought this to the king, and the king began to read it. And what was his first reaction, the Bible says? King Josiah wept. King Josiah wept because he saw that the people of Israel, and that he himself as king, was not following the Word of God. And so he ordered that there be a teaching of the Word of God, that the priests be once again taught again the Word of God, and they brought it all back together, and they kept the Passover in his 18th year as king. They had not been keeping that. And so he orders that, and then some scribe records what it was like to be there. And he says that the Passover, there was none like it, except for when Samuel was prophet. There was something special about the Passovers when Samuel was the leader. There was a worshipful spirit. There was a desire to bring honor and glory to the name of Jehovah. But I want you to notice when the kings got away from the Word of God, things deteriorated, and it always does. But the faithfulness of a man that recorded the Word of God came back to be helpful, that they compared that Passover to the days when Samuel was the leader. What a remembrance. Oh, there are many other references in 1 Chronicles 26 and verse 28, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 29, showing the impact of the writings of Samuel that had been collected and kept at the temple. But I want us to turn to Psalm 99, because that passage of Scripture is one of the richest in regard to Samuel. As David writes, by pen of inspiration, he tells about the relationship that Samuel had with his God. I want to begin reading. We're going to read all of this particular psalm. It's very short, 9 verses. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. This is one of the most powerful psalms that David ever recorded. How do we respond to the fact that the Lord reigns? Do you tremble? How does the earth respond to the fact that the Lord sitteth between the cherubims? They're supposed to be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. And then note verse 6. Moses and Aaron among His priests, and Samuel among them that call upon His name. They called upon the Lord. And what's that second part there? And He answered them. There is no greater blessing to the Christian than answered prayer. I rejoice so many times as I think about the prayers that have been answered just this year. How God has undertaken for some of the children that we have been praying for some time. Got to see little Ainsley last Saturday out here at the ballpark watching her brother getting to play soccer. She hadn't been outside the house to a soccer field in 2 years. Answered prayer. Getting the word about little Evan, who's doing so well now up in Maryland. Answered prayer. We've seen how He's undertaken in so many different ways with Allie and her situation over the past month and a half. Answered prayer. God answers the prayers of faithful saints. And David here goes back into history and he pulls out Moses and Aaron's name. And he says, these were priests before God. And God heard them. But then in his own time, the man that he spent much time with in his early formative years, Samuel came and ministered to him and taught him and trained him. He brings up the name Samuel. And he says, Samuel was among them that called upon His name. They all called upon the Lord, and He answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept His testimonies and the ordinance that He gave them. Again, he's referring here not only to Moses and Aaron, but also to who else? Samuel. He had left a testimony of keeping God's testimonies and the ordinance that were given to them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them. These were men just like us. These were men of like passions as we are. And yet we find that they cried out to God and asked God for forgiveness of sin. And what did God do? He forgave them. They serve as examples for us today. Oh, how you need to keep short accounts with God. Don't go through a day and just pillow your head at night having not talked to God about cleansing your heart. Getting the Word of God out and having the washing of the water of the Word take care of those sins from today, because everybody sins. You can't walk through this world and not sin. We have a responsibility to cry out to God and say, oh God, cleanse me of our sin. And the testimony of Moses, Aaron, and Samuel stand up in this particular psalm as examples of those men that cried out to God and God heard them. They asked God for forgiveness and God forgave them. Though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions, exalt the Lord our God and worship His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Three examples that are pictured for us. We know about them because we have the completed Word of God. At that particular time, the Word of God was not complete. So David wants to remind the children that would read his psalm. He wants to remind the priests that would read the psalms publicly in the temple. He wanted the people constantly reminded of Moses and Aaron and somebody that many of them already knew who had passed off the scene. And that was Samuel. What a picture we have. The Psalm of David honoring the memory of Samuel by declaring his devotion to Jehovah, and specifically his role as intercessor before God. You may not be able to preach. You may not be able to teach a Sunday school class. You may not be able to sing a solo in church, but I can tell you something you can be doing. You can be interceding before God for the needs of God's people. We've shared several today, prayer requests. We need to be interceding. An intercessor is somebody that goes between a person in need and the one that can supply for their need. That's what an intercessor does. Are you doing it? Well, God hasn't called me to do that. Well, what exactly has He called you to do? I thought He called all men to pray. Paul said to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. He didn't say, ask the pastor there to make sure that he prays without ceasing. Or maybe the deacons that are in that church, make sure they pray without ceasing. It doesn't say that, does it? It says to the believers at Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. And I want to tell you, there are many other challenges throughout the New Testament that reminds us that you and I are to be interceding for others. What an example we have found in the life of Samuel. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 15. Here's another reference. Dr. Watt referred to this in his series on the book of Jeremiah, but we want to remind you that Jeremiah the prophet records for us what God said to him. And it's found in verse 1. Notice this. Then said the Lord unto me. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. He's writing it down for us to know. Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. Now, those two men were mentioned back in Psalm 99 as intercessors before God, and God was moved and answered their prayer requests and forgave them of their sins. But God says here with force in the Hebrew language, then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me. He chooses two of the greatest intercessors found in the Old Testament. He said, though they stand before me and utter intercessory cries to me, I will not hear it, because these people are going to go into judgment. These people, I will not hear their prayers. And he reminds them of Moses and Samuel. Do you see a legacy developing here in the Bible? Do you see a legacy left behind by a humble servant who was called to be a Nazirite, who was called to be a priest, a prophet, a judge, a father, all these different things, and he did so humbly in a little circuit in Israel. and yet His name was on the lips of God when He was speaking to His servant Jeremiah hundreds of years later. He speaks to His servant Jeremiah and says, though Moses or Samuel were to utter prayers in behalf of this people, I would not hear them. What a tremendous legacy to be used as an example in the Scripture. But let's go to the New Testament because God's not done. Let's go to the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 3. This is at Pentecost. And Peter has just preached to the multitudes there. The Holy Spirit had been poured out upon those that were there. There was speaking in different languages that were of all people could understand them that were from those particular areas. But then we come to chapter 3. And we see here Peter continuing to minister. A lame man is healed. We find here that Peter is admonishing the children of Israel. Verse 12, and then when Peter saw it, he answered, this is the healing that took place at the porch. We saw, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? He said, don't look at us. Look at the Lord. But let's skip down here to verse 24 for just a moment as he continues this message to those people that were taken by the healing of this man. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Samuel was the first official prophet of Israel. And from that time, Samuel was preaching to the people of Israel about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah, and the coming of the Holy Spirit to His people. We know that Samuel was faithful in preaching the word to the people of Israel. They didn't listen. They continued on their way. They said, we'll have us a king. You're not going to deny us that. And so they got their king, and they got all the consequences that came with that. Then God put His choice on there. And who was the one that anointed both of them? Samuel. And Samuel constantly reminded them of the truths of the days that would come. And Peter brings it out. He says, from Samuel to the present, God's word has prophesied of these days. Better be paying attention, Israel. For he goes on to say, verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Samuel preached about the coming one who would proclaim himself as the answer to the iniquities of the children of Israel. You know what had developed over those years? They believed that they were going to heaven because they were part of the chosen ones. They were the Israelites. And yet we find out here that in Jesus Christ, He came, God sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from His what? Iniquities. You're talking to us? The children of Israel? Yes. And He hearkens back to Samuel to say that the Word of God has been proclaimed since that time, since the prophets, to teach you that you need a Savior. And we're continuing to preach it today. Do I hear an amen? People need the Savior. Our neighbors need the Savior. Those that we come in contact with, those that you're on social media with all the time, they need the Savior. Are they going to hear it from you? They heard it from Samuel. And a thousand years later, Peter refers to and said, Samuel preached this about Jesus coming to take away our sin. What a beautiful picture we find there. Acts chapter 13, we're almost done. Acts chapter 13, we have another reference to Samuel. Look at verse 20. Acts chapter 13 and verse 20. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years. Until Samuel the prophet. Now we find here that Samuel the prophet is a turning point. He was the last judge. and he was the first prophet. And so in history, he's a marker. There are a lot of things in history that we memorize and learn, and Samuel is one of those. That in the history of Israel, he terminates the period of time known as the judges, and he begins the period of time known as the kings. He was the transition individual that God had raised up. Do you think that Samuel knew that when he was 8 years old? I want to just think for just a moment. None of you knew at 8 years of age what you'd be doing today. There are some people that still don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Isn't that sad? Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it takes years to finally soak in and say, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I read about just recently from BIMI about a couple in their 50s. He had worked in the business world, and God just began to work in his heart about being a missionary. God had burdened him. And so he went to the mission board and he told him, he said, listen, I don't have a Bible degree. All I've got is a business degree. But he said, I've been in church for many, many years doing my thing, he said. God has worked in my heart in such a way I believe that God wants me to be a missionary. So they grilled him in candidate school. They grilled him in that. They grilled him on his Bible knowledge and so forth. And he said, why at 56 years of age are you and your wife going to the mission field? He says, it's not because I want to. It's because I have to. God has put that burden. And he said, I'm not even going to go out and go on deputation. I've got all the money that I need. I'm going to go. I won't have this time period of spending 3 years, 4 years out on the road. I'm just going to the mission field. And all I could say as I read that was, amen. But some people would say, oh no, it has to be a young person that goes to the field. I want to tell you something. I have found out over the years that there have been many missionaries that have been called later in life that have gone to the field, and God's given them 20, 25 fruitful years. And through their ministry, someone else was raised up that was able to carry on the word. You know, that's what's happened in southern Palawan. That's exactly what's happened. They have had these older missionaries that have been working in the hearts and lives of young people. And they now have 13 young men that are pastoring mountain churches that grew up under the tutelage of Jethro Malachow's dad, Pastor Malachow Sr. Going to be celebrating his 71st birthday. He's been teaching, preaching, teaching, preaching, and God's raised up young men through that ministry to go up into those mountain churches and to preach God's word. They just opened a new church, I found out last week, up in the mountains. And they've got a young man that said, I'm willing to go. So they're going to be commissioning him, ordaining him and commissioning him to service. He's going to have a preparation period, and he's going to be going to take over that mountain church out in the middle of nowhere. Because older men took up the call and said, I'll go. I'll help those young people. Oh, how we need to be open and receptive to whatever God wants us to do. Samuel had an impact, we are told, in the lives of those that were around him. Paul rehearsed the history of Israel before the Jews at Antioch. That's where he's at right now in this chapter. Antioch of Pisidia. And he's telling them about the history of Israel. He's updating them, so to speak. And a character that he pulls out of history is none other than Samuel. Let's look at the last reference to him in Hebrews chapter 11. We're done with this. Hebrews chapter 11. I want us, please, to look at verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah. Those are all judges, by the way. And of David also, and whose name appears here in this list? And Samuel. Oh, what a beautiful picture we have here. And Samuel and of the prophets. And literally in the Greek language there, we have it translated of David also and Samuel, but it should be and also David and Samuel. The Bible puts those two together in this section. And we know that Samuel was a mentor to David during his youth. So God puts them together in history. Samuel used his waning days to impact a young man by the name of David. I'm telling you something, folks. This is so important. God has told the older men to teach the younger men. Are we doing it? We're putting our arm around a young man that needs some help and instruction? I tell you, I appreciate so much Mr. Woods. Mr. Woods has been a gift to this church. And at 85 years of age, he's out there coaching basketball. I walked in on a devotional that he was having with the young men the other day. And all I could say was, praise the Lord, here's an older man teaching the younger man. The older man teaching the younger man. He's willing to do that at 85. And we come up with all kinds of excuses why we can't help. We can't do this. We can't do that. I'm not going to do that. And it's not always the older folks, by the way. Sometimes it's the younger ones, too, in the Middle Ages. They put up all these walls. I'm not going to do that. Oh, no, don't call upon me to do that. David and Samuel are paired together in the Greek language for a reason. Because Samuel was the one that taught David. Samuel was the one that influenced David. David was the recipient of years of wisdom. And he took it. And that teaches us something for the young people too. Don't think you know everything. You don't. Be humble and accept the gift of older folks that pull you aside and share with you truth. Take it! Don't walk away from it in pride and arrogance and say, well, he had no right to come to me and tell me anything. The Bible says the older men are to teach the younger men. Get in line with the Scripture. Close your mouth and open your ears. That's the picture that's given to us in the Scripture. And we see these two names paired together. We find that, by the way, I didn't take time to go to 1 Chronicles 26, verse 28 and verse 29, but in both of those, Samuel was paired with David. It's interesting. They're paired together by name because Samuel used his influence to help David. And David had a heart after God, and David was used to do mighty things even after Samuel was long gone. The testimony of a Samuel lived in his heart. And even God, in Hebrews chapter 11, in the hall of faith, mentions the two of them together. David was what he was because Samuel was who what he was. And he had an impact. It may be in heaven before you find out. We'll never know it from a reading of a scripture because our names are not in there. But one day, we'll see those that impacted the hearts and lives of others. Dr. Hobbs used to tell about a lady in Chester, South Carolina. She was one of the ladies that visited at the nursing home when they would go and they would preach. And this lady was bedridden, but she was a prayer warrior. And Dr. Hobbs said, you know, that lady prayed over me as a young preacher. She prayed. She kept regular requests on all those boys from Bob Jones University that came to that nursing home. She had a prayer list and she was praying for them. And some of those men that were college students at that time, because a lady in her 80s was praying for them, turned out to be God's useful tools in the years ahead. And it was an older lady that couldn't leave her bed, but she could pray. She could pray. And she impacted hearts and lives of young men that went out and took their place in the service of the King, in the vineyard of the King. Do you want to have that kind of legacy? I pray you do. Do you want to have the legacy of a Samuel whose name is mentioned over and over again as you go through the Scriptures? Because he was just a humble servant of God who interceded for others who wrote faithfully the Scripture that God wanted written, the things that God wanted recorded, He faithfully did that. Didn't take rocket science to do that. All it took was obedience. And He has a lasting legacy that you and I have been reading about and studying about together over the past 9 months. I pray that the messages that we've looked at will impact some children here at Grace Bible Church, because Samuel was a child. Impact some teenagers that are in our church because Samuel was a teenager. We learned about him. And impact some adults because Samuel was an adult used of God. There's something for everybody in the life of Samuel. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, thank you so much for recording for us the life and legacy of Samuel, your prophet. A boy that came as a promise. You gave to Hannah this young boy to be used of thee for his whole life. And we get a glimpse into it, not only during his life, but before and after. His name continues to come forward as a reminder of faithfulness. Now, Lord, there may be some that are trying to pursue a legacy outside of Christian service. Lord, that is so empty. Help those individuals to realize that the glory comes to Christ when we serve Him rather than serving ourselves. That's one lesson we learn from the life of Samuel. Faithful service. He didn't have his own private agenda. He wasn't doing his own thing. He was just faithful in doing the simple things. Being a judge, being a father, being a prophet, going from little town to little town, being faithful in proclaiming the Word of God to the children of Israel. Never a big shot, never somebody that was going places as far as the world was concerned, but he was faithful and he obeyed thee. Now, Lord, I pray that you would teach us as your people what really matters. What matters is obedience. What matters is doing what you've called us to do without question. Lord, I pray that you would stir within the hearts of our children, our teenagers, and our adults at Grace Bible Church the burden to know the God of Samuel, the burden to know His calling upon our lives, the burden to know that whatever we do, if we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His glory, it'll be blessed. And then someday when we get to heaven, we'll know the legacy that God had through us here upon this world. Lord, help us to not foolishly pursue our own legacy, but help us to, Father, to submit to Thee and to follow after Your Word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's close this morning with number 496. Number 496, "Are ye able," said the Master. I want us to sing verse number 4. Now, Samuel is one of those heroic spirits that throughout eternity can answer and say he did what the Lord wanted him to do. I thought especially about the ending of the chorus, that he was a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. God wants us to have that same legacy to send out His message and be that light in the days we live. Let's stand together. Number 496, verse number 4. Father, we thank you for the messages that we've heard on the life of Samuel. Lord, what an example and what a tremendous legacy was left throughout the rest of the Scriptures. And Father, we have a responsibility as well to follow you, to submit to you, to answer the call of service in our lives, to also be the light, the testimony, and the beacon in the days in which we live. Help us, Father, in these things to learn from the life of Samuel as well. And Lord, now bless each family that's gathered here this morning. We thank you for the blessings that we receive from your word. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.